You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
It's a new day. This is Rhett. How are you? And we have Pastor Vecchiano in here. Vecchiano.
Yes, sir. Depends on where you're from.
Yeah, depends on where you're from. Vecchiano, Vecchiano, Vidiano. I don't know. Just make sure you get me the lasagna here on time. So that, is that Italiano?
It is Italian.
Italiano, yes. Grazie. Where are you from originally?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, so you grew up as what? I'm going to presume a Catholic.
You're correct.
Yeah. Okay, till what age were you a Catholic?
Let's see. 29.
29. That's the same age that the thing happened to me. My conversion with a Jesus.
29,
okay,
yeah.
So you, what were you, a perfunctory Catholic that sat in the pew but didn't really connect, or did you have a connection to Jesus that was legitimate?
Prior? Yeah, I've always believed in the basic foundations of the church, the Trinity, you know, things like that. Matter of fact, after I got saved or was transformed, like Paul would talk about in Galatians 2:20, I talked to a priest one time. We had dinner together, and I knew he was going to ask me the question, you know, why are you no longer a Catholic? And basically for myself, I told him, you know, the church taught me a lot of great foundational truths about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Scripture, you know, authority of the Scripture, and things like that. I said, but it never became personal, real personal to me. It never became which I would say now, a heart transformation. Because it's interesting, because the act of contrition that as a Catholic would pray prior to going to confession,
yes,
or in penance, is exactly what almost an evangelical would say is happening to them.
When they're repentant.
When they're repentant,
so that's why they're. But that's why they may not use the same vernacular, but there are many Catholics who are, in fact, are born again.
Right.
They just may not know they're born again if they have an intimate relationship.
Exactly.
I guess
that's
question
key.
One should
be. So key.
Yeah, Jesus said, make sure ye are born from above. In other words, you know, I used to have a friend of mine, very well-to-do, became a, he was a lawyer, multimillionaire, became a Christian at the age of 37. He'd go up to a toll booth and say, hey, how you doing today? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead? Yes, you just got born again.
Yeah.
No, he did not. I was in my living room for quite a long time yelling at God. He says, you will find me if you seek me, when you seek me with all your heart. What made the difference from you from going a pew sitter to being radically converted at 29.
Yeah, so it's definitely the intimacy. Of course, Jesus paints a beautiful picture in John 15 with the vine and the branch parable there. Just a beautiful picture, how we are to be rightly related to him, how he is to the Father, and how through us as the branches, the fruit of the Spirit is produced. So really, it's almost, it used to be talked about where a head knowledge and a heart intimacy has all now come together. And it just was a real transformational experience. Galatians 2:20 is one of my, you know, life verses. It's what I help people to understand as defining salvation. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
But what happened to you?
Yeah, so a transformation, and I attribute it just like with Paul, what happened with Paul. I mean, here's Paul, religious leader of the day,
okay,
a Pharisee.
Did you have a Pharisee. Yeah, right, he was a knowledgeable guy.
Yeah.
He was a Pharisee. He was the equivalent of a priest today.
Yeah.
So what happened? So he got knocked off his horse literally by a white light. Were you knocked off? You're in your car and a white light appeared.
Yeah. So I got invited first time. Just going back a little bit. First time I got invited to a Easter cantata. And
what's a cantata?
A cantata is like an Easter play.
Oh, okay. Like
but this was at an evangelical church.
It was like a passion play?
Like a passion play, live animals, those kind of things. So all the stories that I had, you know, talked about and heard about as a kid, kind of came to life to me. So that was the first one of the first times where God's really working. You know, I can see him working as I look back, how he worked out the whole process. Before that, I was really almost running from God. I was chasing the great things of the world, health and, you know, wealth and prosperity, you know, those kind of things. And I had a grandfather die, you know, some different crisis experience took place, kind of led me back to, you know, back home kind of thing. And then got invited to church. And then another crisis experience took place. I saw the church just kind of come around, a family in particular, and see the love of God in action, you know, before me, which I really hadn't seen a lot before in just the rudimentary workings of the church. I got invited back to the church again to hear a guest speaker. He was a former gangbanger.
What is a gangbanger?
You know, he was in a gang.
Yeah.
And from South Bend, Indiana.
Gangs in South Bend, Indiana?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And from there, and basically he just kind of started, transformed himself and talking about how he was, you know, showing us his bullet wounds and scars and just telling about this rough life that he took place. But some things resonated with me, like the desire to, you know, have lots of money and fame and fortune.
I can't see you as ever being a tough guy.
Well, you know, tough.
Were you? Were you like a Hell's Angels guy?
No, you know, more definitely self-centered, no doubt about it. You know, that kind of thing. And that's what we've talked about before is the root of all evil. Self-centeredness, you know, that really is the root of all evil. When you're self-centered, then you're always...
Well, he said the love of money is the root of all evil, but...
A love of money. Yeah, difference. So money can be used in a positive way.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Of course, we would like to see more of it for what things we do, right? But if I'm self-centered with
money... There's also times we can think it's a matter of money when it's not.
Yeah. So root. But if you take any sin... Go take any sin and trace it back to its root. It'll come back to self. Whether it's Satan getting kicked out of the choir loft I always talk about in Isaiah, it's the I am this, I am that. It's all about me. If you take the word sin, we do this to the kids all the time. Take the word sin on the board and write the big letter I in the middle. I is right in the middle of the word sin.
How did you get to a point where it became about others? Now a lot of times. Yeah. People have to be utterly broken. They get into a 12-step program because they get addicted to alcohol. They get addicted to drugs. They come to the bottom of themselves and realize their only salvation is in surrendering to God and being in service of others.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't go through that. You weren't addicted to drugs, right?
No, it wasn't.
Was there something that broke you?
Yeah. So going back to the preacher man from South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah.
Of course, I grew up with priests. I never saw a real preacher kind of thing. Yeah. So he was a large black man, sweating and screaming, running back and forth in the pulpit kind of thing across the
platform. Did that kind of scare you a little bit?
It was just interesting to me. I don't know if I was really scared at that point, but in a moment I was going to be, because as he was preaching and he said, okay, I want you to bow your heads, you know, like a normal evangelical service kind of thing. You know, I want you to bow your heads, and if you want to know more about Jesus, if you want Jesus to become, you know, your Savior, if you want to ask him to forgive your sins, bow your heads. Everybody raise their hands. And that's my second time in the church, and I'm in a crowd of about 350 people. I thought, it's no big deal. I'll bow my head. I'm sitting 3-4 rows back. I'll raise my hand. So he went ahead after the prayer and asked everybody to come forward. Well, I didn't budge because nobody knew. I didn't knew that nobody knew those who my future wife, who had actually invited me to the church. At the time, she was going to be my wife, but I always joke around and say I was stalking her, but, you know, not in a bad way. Anyway, so he invited everybody to come to the altar. I didn't go to the altar, and I've never seen anything basically since like it. He got back up on the platform and started preaching again. And as he went across and came back across, he stopped mid-sentence, and he pointed his finger at me in this crowd. Second time in the church, never been there.
You raise your hand.
He saw me raise my hand, and he said, looked me straight in the eye and said, didn't you raise your hand? So I, of course, looked behind me, and I thought, surely he's not speaking with me. And my, not my wife at the time, she kind of sunk down in her seat, and she said, he'll never come back to church now. And I said, yeah, I kind of nodded, yeah. And the next thing I knew, I'm on my face at the altar weeping like a baby. So I felt, I always tell the story, it's like two large angels picked me up and put me down at the altar. And that was my real transformation where it began. Because
so when,
I
you,
could,
when you stood up that day, did you know something inside had changed?
Yeah. I talk about, felt like a piano was lifted off my back. When I walked outside, I actually heard the birds chirping. I could, you know, my senses were alive. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, hey, recite this prayer.
I can't explain it, but I know exactly the same thing happened. The sky is bluer than blue. The clouds are white and white. The birds are chirping. It's like something's been transformed.
And that's it. I mean, Paul talks about it in Galatians 2, Romans 12. It's always about a transformation. Christianity has always been about that. Jesus coming and living inside of you. That's what we're about to celebrate with Pentecost coming up. That's the fullness of salvation. It's Jesus now, the person of Jesus through his Spirit coming and residing in you. You, Rhett, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not that building that we go to, but you're the temple.
Now, if you cannot earn, Paul would say you cannot earn salvation. Mm-hmm. It's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. Then neither can I, if I can't gain it on my own, can I lose it on my own?
You can turn your back on it. It's a gift. Here, Rhett, here's a gift. Would you like to receive it?
Okay, but you've got guys in the church. You know, everybody wants to pick on the homosexuals. Mm-hmm. How about the guys that have been married five times?
Well,
and they mock God's, what do you call it, vows.
Mm-hmm.
It's just strictly, it says, do not make a vow quickly to the Lord. He is forgiving, you know, but then if you go on the side, if you say, well, I think God's going to err on the side of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, God wouldn't err, first of all.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I'm saying, if you understand what I'm saying. And so will Hitler make it to heaven?
Did he? No.
Well, you don't know. You're not judge. You don't know. Jesus appeared to him at the last moment and said, you know.
I know Judas didn't go to heaven. It says clearly in Scripture. He went his own way. He went his own way.
Yeah.
Jesus is the way.
Well,
way
is not the way. If he forgave Peter, couldn't he come back and have said, you know, I did this utterly horrible thing, but Jesus said at the Last Supper, he said, better for this man never to have been born. And then he hung himself afterwards.
I mean, if we really believe that there's not a real hell, why the cross? What's this? Why'd he go to the cross? If everyone just kumbaya, everybody's going to heaven, live how you like, live what you think. This is the problem today we have, because we have so many churches preaching, as Paul would say, a different gospel or a different Jesus.
But I want to say this too. The older I get, the more I see the foibles of man. When I was younger, I'm now in my 70th year, I admired older people, and I thought they really knew what was going down.
Mm-hmm.
As I've gotten older, I go, oh my God, they were never as mature or as wise as I thought they were. You will find out as you get older, you're still the same kid inside. But I have learned this. In the center of the Bible, it says, cursed is the man, trust in God, not man.
Mm-hmm.
David wrote, cursed is the man that maketh man his trust. Mm-hmm. Cursed is the man that maketh man his trust. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9.